This is a short version of Sci Center, May 19, 2024.
Hi everyone. So in front of you is two quotes. Everybody has the first quote from SAC. And then there's three different quotes from Sai Baba. Each of you have one of them. I'm going to read the quote from Sat, and we'll contemplate for a few minutes. And then you'll find the people next to you have the same quote from Baba. We'll break into groups of three, where you'll have satsang, and you'll discuss Sat's quote, Sai Baba's quote, how they support each other, and how they unfold this roadmap for all of life. Sat. They always say that effort comes from you and grace from God. Even if that effort is pointless, it shows your high desire. Just as you are putting forth the effort, you do it with 100% trust that the result is in the hands of the Divine Mother and nothing belongs to your decision making. This is a roadmap for all of life. For example, I want to replace my roof. Insurance may or may not accept the claim. I don't care. I left it in the hands of the mother, the grace. At the same time, I'm doing my best. I'm getting information and doing whatever needs to be done. I do that because trust and complete surrender doesn't mean that you sit around and do nothing. Sometimes the letter that is written will save you. Sometimes it's not necessary. You always stand in the middle, not on one side that brings concern, not on the other side that makes a person lazy or aimless. If you fall on either side, it's not right. It's been proven to me that my silence has a huge effect on all of you and me, and yet I talk. I could say that I know my silence has a greater impact on you, so why should I talk? So never stand on this or that side. Don't be indifferent and don't be anxious. This shows mastery over your emotions. You bring them in the middle, not hot and not cold, just warm. This is from a private conversation, April 24th, 2023.
At this point, Radha reads Baba's quote for her group with Sat, Ahmad, Vijay, and Mansoor.
Develop faith in God. God is the support, and everything else is supported. Divinity is one.
Okay, so my first question is, what do you take on develop faith in God? What does that mean to you? Does that resonate with you when you say develop faith in God? That's what I want to know. Yeah, it's interesting because when we say develop faith in God, means trust also, is very general. It's very general. Huh? And then because it's general, it pulls some sort of concept out of us. We have a concept of God that we have to have faith in. It's not a place where you know where to go and what to do. It just says develop faith in God, right? Now, when we realize that divinity or God's promise is within each of us, that says, if you don't take thought, I will take care of you. Anxious thoughts, I will take care of you. Then immediately we know where it is. Immediately we find some sort of a intimacy with it. Because it's not something with different opinion of people. So when someone comes and says, have faith in God, you might get confused. How do I develop that? How do I do it? Will I be able to? Do I know God enough? Do I love Him enough? But with the promise, like you two were saying, is you know where it is. You know what is asking of you. You just have to try it until you're proven. And if you're not proven, let it go. Drop it and find something that does work.
I'll just add that I think the only reason I have any grasp over this whole flow is from watching your example. And early on, I didn't always understand why you would even deal with some little details or some little problems.
Yes.
I was thinking, why is that even giving any attention to it? And I would see you do it, and then sometimes there would be 10 hurdles, and you'd hit the 10th hurdle, and you wouldn't care at all. Like, it didn't affect, like, the day would end. It didn't change anything. So I thought it was really interesting watching you do that all those years. And then when I kind of practiced this myself, I saw that all action that I was doing became more effortless when I was trusting it. Even a simple task, if mentally I was making something out of it, it was difficult.
Yeah.
But, like, the whole day out in the sun doing work is easy if you're not tied to the result.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, the result and expectation is a big hindrance. And it's funny how humans don't learn from their failure of this approach. We say, okay, next time I work even harder. I will get more anxiety. I will fire some people and hire some people. This is going to do it. It all along has been our approach to what we are doing.
I said that I caught my attention to about actually action speaks louder, way louder than words. When I set foot, the path will show itself, show me the way. But without that, if I just keep wishing, nothing is going to happen. So that first, it may be pointless, but it will...
You know, a lot of people do a lot of prayers. That's their approach to life, is prayers, prayers. And hardly they get anywhere. Because there has to be some movement with the prayer. You know, there is a very beautiful example of this that Elham reminded me not too long ago. In Little Buddha, if you haven't seen it, you guys should see it with the kids. In the movie there, where Buddha does a lot of austerities, I mean a harsh one, a starvation, not taking care of his body, being in the jungle, all sorts of things to see how he can end suffering. And one time, he sees a little canoe going by. And what was in it? Do you remember? The guy was singing with his guitar in the canoe that if my string is too tight, it breaks. When it's too loose, it doesn't play. He heard it. He was meditating, and he hears that. And then immediately, he realized what he was doing was not a middle path. That's how the middle path of Buddha came to be. Not this side, not too tight. In other words, being tight. Having your way. Even if it hurts you. Not too loose where you're good for nothing, right? So, and the whole teaching of Buddha, rest, the end of suffering is the middle path. Imagine that. I highly recommend Little Buddha for all the parents that have little kids. It's really amazing.
Can we ask a question?
Yeah.
So the part where he says, this was in unison, we had this question. The craving for sense objects cannot be given up fully, so transform it into an instrument for worship. When we talked about it, we figured, like this, the sense objects, they're, as long as we're in the body, they will be a part of us. But
what do you consider sense object?
I'm thinking that everything that goes out, like with your functioning in the world, and I'm not sure what sense object.
Then
is.
Let's figure that out first.
Once we figure that out, we would like to know how we could.
Yeah,
use it.
Because if you don't know what that is, what kind of explanation would you want to have? Sense object, meaning catering to the senses.
Okay.
It literally means catering to the senses. Whether it's too much watching, too much hearing, too much entertaining, five senses. And when he is saying, what was he saying?
So transform it into an instrument for worship.
In other words, this is what we are doing. We are not wandering and surfing on the internet anymore. We'd rather have satsang. Our children don't do it anymore. We'd rather have satsang. We'd rather go and kick a ball in the field. So that's what it means. It doesn't mean turn it to worship, that you do puja and all of that. It just means make it a wholesome quality out of what you see, what you hear, what you taste. It's too much taste is too much, you know, too much catering to your cravings of any sorts. It just multiplies the desire for it, and unquenched desire. This is the problem, because the desires that when they multiply is like a water on the road. You get there and there's nothing there. So for us, we're already experiencing that. We're already showing up. We're already enthusiastic to hear more truth, or to do more omnipresent meditation, or listen to this song that talks about the love for God, love for beloved. We don't read trashy things anymore, whether it's magazine, whether it's news. So automatically our senses have been purified. What Baba is saying.
I have to say that, I mean, I know I do this, I can't help myself, but honestly, like, your videos, your audios, your writings, I feel like they just so abundantly provide this alternative.
Yes, and then the praise goes also to each one of you for being interested to do what he's saying. We're not just reading and wishing to be like that. We are like that. So this is when we can be a light rather than filth in this world. I mean, this room, with Baba's grace, has brought so many people to his teaching and purified them and took him to their own life in this 40-some years. So thank you. Seriously, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to sit here and explain your words, and all of you.
I feel like I should say this. I feel like when you always repeatedly tell us to be happy and be joyful, that's another way of turning that into the instrument of worship.
Exactly. Exactly. What is worship? Deep understanding and love. The biggest worship we can give to ourselves is self-realization. Realizing that the God that people worship, it is one with me. Until then, we do what we are doing.
At this point, Kavi reads his group quotes from Baba and Sat. And he explains and shares the similarity between the two codes. And Sat says,
well, you say similar. You see, the truth is Enshin. It's just Enshin. So it depends when it appears and when it disappears.
Our quote said, develop faith in God. God is the support, and everything else is supported. Divinity is one.
So what do we come up with about this? Have faith in God.
So Sat asked, what does that mean to all of you to develop faith in God? And it came to trying the promise, trusting the promise, letting it being proven right to you, so that it's not a concept, developing faith in God, who is God, where is that, but a promise, you know where it is and you know how to access it. And then Sat talked about the movie, The Little Buddha, and how Buddha, in order to end suffering, was doing these austerities, sitting in the jungle, starving himself, depriving himself, not taking care of the body. And one day, there's a man passing in a canoe in the water, and he's playing a violin, and his song talks about how if the string is too tight, it breaks, and if the string is too loose, it makes no sound. And how right there Buddha realized the middle path. And that was the end of suffering. Sachin, thank you so much.
You don't need to thank me.
I went through many, many quotes, and I didn't ever find one where Sai Baba tells any of his students to sit down and do nothing all day. Which is interesting, you know, because you think like somebody who meditates, that might be an option, but it was never put out there. I didn't see it in any of the
books. Baba did not recommend meditation.
Okay.
The only thing I know, he sent few young people into the Himalayas, and that was it.
And that has to be work. At least 6 hours.
Well, he told them everything would be provided for them.
Thank you, everyone.